Life's a ball, let it fall right in your lap.
Hello and welcome to New York Standard. I'm your host, Andre Archambault. New York Standard's a show dedicated to the best music from the era that made New York Standard. This is the music from the great jazz ages of swing and bop to cabaret and Broadway. Coltrane, Ella, Ellington, Basie, and of course Nat Cole and Johnny Hartman, as we hear from each of them every week. Welcome to the 104th episode of New York Standard. I decided to do a pretty basic show this week, and in fact, it should clock in at around 90 minutes or less. Just been doing these really, really long shows the last several months since Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then Valentine's. So I wanted to keep it nice and short and sweet and tight and tidy. Also, with the beginning of spring this week, which you would not have known here in the Northeast, is that it snowed about 5 inches here in New York and much more elsewhere, I decided to bring you songs about spring. But before we do that, though, as you'll recall from last week's All Irish show, I played all Irish musicians playing mostly traditional Irish music. This week we'll start with a legend of the keys playing an Irish song and then get into the spring set. So here, in a sort of latent celebration of St. Patrick's Day, here is Art Tatum playing Danny Boy on New York Standard. I've got to know why there isn't more applause for Art Tatum at the end, at both the end of Danny Boy there, which was an inspired rendition, and the song Some Other Spring. I don't understand. I'm going to look that up. I got to figure that out, because it makes no sense to me that there were three people in the crowd listening to Art Tatum. It just make no sense, as they say. Anyway, well, that was Art Tatum, and that's from a compilation called 20th Century Piano Genius, Volume 2. Both of those songs, Danny Boy and Some Other Spring. And again, I said it on last week's show, one of the things that I love about St. Patrick's Day is the fact that it is a kickoff to spring, and then only a few days later does spring officially begin. So it's kind of a nice segue, I think, to start the show off in such a way. So a couple of other spring songs ahead. We're going from one piano legend to another. Art Tatum is probably head and shoulders above everybody. Oscar Peterson is probably number two, in my opinion. And not that there weren't loads of other guys in there, but then you have guys like Willie the Lion Smith, the King of Stride Piano. This is from a compilation called The Lion Roars, 1934 to 1944. This is a song called Echoes of Spring on New York Standard. Thank you.
Da 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 da
That is Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. That is from a compilation that I play from every once in a while, The History of Art Blakey. And that particular performance was pulled from an album called Three Blind Mice, record that was released in 1962 by the good old-fashioned United Artists Records. Remember them? Remember? Well, United Artists was mostly a film and production company, but I guess they dabble. I forgot that they dabbled in records. Anyway, that is a really, really cool assemblage. A, it's a great Freddie Hubbard song, and B, we heard Mr. Hubbard himself on trumpet there, Art Blakey, of course, on the drums, Wayne Shorter on tenor, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Cedar Walton on piano, and Jimmy Merritt on bass. Really, really cool performance. And again, you know, you heard a nice lively crowd at the end of that. So I don't know why Art Tatum, I'm going to try to figure that out before the end of this show, why Art Tatum didn't have a better crowd assembled for him. It just makes no sense. And again, we started off that little block there with Willie the Lion Smith, The Lion Roars, Echoes of Spring is the number that we heard. Well, now we're going to go into some singers singing spring songs. Billy Eckstein from a really cool album called No Cover, No Minimum. It's a live record I picked up a couple years ago. And I wax and wane on Billy Eckstein. Very, very important guy in the singer world, the crooner world. Very, very important guy. But like I'll go in five-year spurts where I will listen to him incessantly and then I'll not. And a couple of years ago, I was in one of those spurts where it was all Billy Eckstein for like 3 weeks and then moved on to Johnny Hartman or some rock music or whatever. Johnny Hartman, I listen to all the time. I can listen to him. I could listen to him 24/7, frankly. Anyway, this is Billy Eckstein's version of It Might As Well Be Spring from No Cover, No Minimum. Really, really cool live album worth checking out. It's a lot of fun, really ripping numbers on that, including It Might As Well Be Spring, a New York Standard.
I'm as helpless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I say that I have spring fever, but it isn't even spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, how can I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a girl I have yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring.
Thing called spring, when the world was writing verses like yours and mine, all the lads and girls would sing when we sat at little tables and drank May wine. Now April, May, and June are sadly out of tune. Life has stuck the pin in the bone. Spring is here. Why doesn't my heart go dancing? Spring is here. Why isn't the waltz entrancing? No desire, no ambition leads me. Maybe it's because nobody doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here.
Fitzgerald. Man, you just can't beat her. You can't. And anytime I get an opportunity to play Ella, she's another one I can listen to year-round at any time. If my iPod's on shuffle, and hit it and just stay with it and love it. That is the song Spring Is Here, Rodgers and Hart, from the Rodgers and Hart songbook. And before that, we heard Rodgers and Hammerstein, It Might As Well Be Spring by Billy Eckstine, from, again, that No Cover, No Minimum record. And just a little bit of background. It Might As Well Be Spring was from State Fair. Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein and Ella's performance, again, was from this Rodgers and Hart songbook. The Rodgers and Hart songbook. You can see why it gets a little confusing. And it was originally included in a musical called I Married an Angel from 1938. So again, you know, one of the reasons that I love to do this show is that this music, in my opinion, has the ultimate staying power. The rock music that we listen to today, I'd say a percentage of it. I was actually listening to an interview earlier today, this today being Saturday, March 21st. But I was listening to an interview from, go figure, Irish Radio about the 25th anniversary of Depeche Mode's record from 1990, whose name absolutely just flew out of my head, but the fact they, you know, they were maintaining that it's a relatively timeless recording, and having listened to some of the clips of the album, and I remember where I was when I first heard it, and it was kind of an important album at the time. It is actually pretty timeless, but so little of pop and rock music is that And that's what's so amazing about this music, is that it sounds like it's from an era, but you can produce this music yet again and yet again and yet again. And so it manages to keep a modernity that a lot of pop and rock music doesn't get today. Ironically, on a related note, I was listening earlier to a different show, and I happened to hear a Kanye West song come on, and it was all samples of, I think, Curtis Mayfield. There may have been a Temptations lick in there, and you listen to that. I'm over the sampling thing. I am. I gave that up years ago. But you know, what I would say is, let's not call that original music. The only thing that's original is the rap that he's doing on top of it. And that deserves some sort of a nod or credit. But it's not like you know. It's funny. I was having a conversation earlier this week with someone about my experience at the old RCA recording studios. And I told them that there was a studio that was 100 feet by 100 feet by 100 feet. They actually had two of them. One was a little bit better than the other because it had a tunable room. You could lower and raise I've spoken about this on the show before. You could lower and raise the ceiling based on hydraulics. It was cut in three sections. And you could tune the room literally to the size that you wanted. Literally manually tune it, and there were times I would walk into that studio and the ceiling was 30 feet above your head, and then I would walk, you know, the next day or 3 days later, and it'd be 100 feet in the air, and kind of amazing. It created a completely different sound. Anyway, the first comment the guy I was talking to about this said, he said, why would you need a studio that's 100 feet by 100 feet by 100 feet? And I said, orchestras. Simple as. Orchestras, they don't do that so much anymore. And so, you know, and they used to record orchestras there. They used to record Broadway there. And so, and in fact, I got a Broadway bit later that was recorded at the old RCA Studios, Studio A. So, and that, by the way, that is going to be coming up here not too long. When you do a show that's about 90 minutes, it's only going to be so long before we get to a chorus line. Anyway, we're only about four songs away from that. Anyway, I just wanted to, you know, a lot of the reason I do this show is because of the timelessness of the music. It just is. And in fact, a lot of this stuff is getting churned on top of one another. And to me, I'd much rather listen to the originals. I also have a mad respect for people like Sharon Jones or Charles Bradley, who are taking sounds and rhythms from the 50s, 60s, and even the early 70s, and sort of repurposing that, but it's still original music. They're doing original music. It's a little bit different than what goes on with sampling. But I have droned on. I'm trying to get to a 90-minute show. I don't know why, but anyway. Well, the man, the master. I've played one of the other masters of the jazz world. In my opinion, this guy is the man. He is the tops, and it's still sort of a spring fling kind of ditty. This is a song called Weatherbird. It is Louis Armstrong from the Hot Fives and Sevens on New York Standard. Thank you. Mr. Kenny Dorham with Blue Spring Shuffle from an album called Quiet Kenny. And that's a request from Mr. Danny Duraney. And I'm going to make sure that I link him up with this. He gifted me, I don't know, about 4 Kenny Dorham records a couple of years ago. And it took me forever to include them, download them, the whole thing. And so I feel awful. He listened to the first couple of shows and was like, "Hey, I like this. I want to give this guy some of this music." And we've never met in person, but we know each other via Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. And so now I'm finally making good on that promise of bringing that music out. And thanks so much, Danny, for that fabulous addition. That, and just so you know, I mean, that couldn't have been a greater quartet that you just heard. That was Kenny Dorham on trumpet, Tommy, I always want to say Tommy Flanagan because of Tommy Flanagan from SNL, but it's Tommy Flanagan. Flanagan was John Lovett's character, the lie, constantly lying. Anyway, Paul Chambers on the bass and Art Taylor on drums. So again, without the sidebar, Kenny Dorham on trumpet, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Paul Chambers on the bass, and Art Taylor on drums. And we started off that set with Louis Armstrong and Earl Father Hines on piano. It was just a duo. So we went from one tremendous trumpeter to another in Louis Armstrong over to Kenny Dorham. Hope you enjoyed that little block there. So we are moving on. We've got two numbers here. Another spring number from a woman by the name of Lauren Hooker, and I've played her a few times. It's been a while since I've played her, but she is doing her version of Spring Is Here, and that'll be followed up by Mr. Hartman from his Unforgettable record. But first, Lauren Hooker, Spring Is Here on New York Standard.
Why doesn't my heart go dancing? Spring is here. Why isn't the waltz entrancing? No desire, no ambition leads me. Maybe it's because nobody the breeze delight me. Stars appear. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here. Spring is here. Spring. I hear.
Why isn't the waltz entrancing? No desire, no ambition leads me. Maybe it's because nobody Why doesn't the breeze delight me? Stars, stars appear. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here. Spring is here. Spring.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I would swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing, ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I could swear I was falling. Swear I was falling. Why, it's almost like being in love.
Johnny Hartman, Almost Like Being in Love. That is from the Unforgettable record. It's one of my, you know, it's funny. He doesn't, he's so well known as a crooner. To those who know Johnny Hartman, they know him as a crooner. He made one or two records that were mostly up-tempo numbers. Unforgettable is one, ironically, given that Unforgettable as a song is more of a ballad. And then a couple of records that he made in the 70s, a little bit more up-tempo. But the one thing about those Impulse albums that he made otherwise, they're really playing to his strengths as a ballad singer. And before Johnny Hartman, we heard Lauren Hooker. A friend of mine also gifted me Ms. Hooker's album. And the title of the record is, let me actually take a look again, Life of the Music as opposed to Life of the Party, I suppose. And really, Lauren Hooker is, she's a music teacher, a singer, and is from the New Jersey area. And a friend of mine Alex Rosenfeld gave me a couple of her CDs a couple of years ago. I'm playing a couple of those items for some of my friends and their friends. So hopefully they're enjoying the show. Well, we have reached the Broadway bit segment of this week's show, and I probably 2 years ago or so, when I was a kid, I had the vinyl album of A Chorus Line, and I finally went out and got downloaded the thing off iTunes. Just it reminds me of my childhood. I didn't see the show until, God, I may have seen it once as a kid, a little kid, and then when we moved back here when I was 16, 17 years old, we went and saw it at the old Majestic Theater, at which it resided for a very, very long time. Anyway, so I'm just going to bring you these couple of numbers, three or four numbers here. And we're going to open, we're going to have the open, we're going to have the close, and then two numbers in between. I'll butt in the middle. But this is the opening number. God, I hope I get it. From A Chorus Line on New York Standard.
Again. Step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. 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 Right. That connects with turn, turn, out, in, touch, step, step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. Got it? Going on. And turn, turn, touch, down, back, step, pivot, step, walk, walk, walk. Right. Let's do the whole combination facing away from the mirror. From the top. A 5, 6, 7, 8.
Left, boys. Let's do the ballet combination. First group of girls, second group follow. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See the boys, the whole group. Ready? A 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, girls, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
I can't imagine what he was.
God, I hope I get it.
come this far, but even so, it could be yes, it could be no. How many people does he? I really need
my head is one and it's one.
Please, God, I need
I knew I had it from the start.
I've got to get this show.
Who am I anyway? Am I my resume? That is a picture of a person I don't know. What does he want from me? What should I try to be? So many faces all around, and here we go. I need this job. God, I need this show.
I'm watching Cisco pitter-pat. Said I could do that. I could do that. Knew every step right off the bat. Said I could do that. I could do that. One morning sis won't go to dance class. I grab her shoes and tights and all, but my foot's too small, so I stuff her shoes with extra socks. Run 7 blocks in nothing flat. Hell, I could do that. That. I got to class and had it made, and so I stayed the rest of my life. All thanks to sis, now married and fat. Sis, I can do this.
I can't be the only guy, only person who, when someone, whether it's the whether it's their boss, whether it's their significant other, I know when my wife asks me to do something and says, I can do that, doesn't immediately think of that. I can't be the only person who does that. Anyway, that is I Can Do That from A Chorus Line. That was Wayne Cilento there singing. And before that, we started off the Broadway bit with I Hope I Get It from the opening number. And I misspoke when I was sort of previewing this segment. The second I said it, I knew I was wrong. It was not the Majestic Theater down the block. Instead, it's the Schubert Theater, which is right on the edge of Schubert Alley, right by the, now the Marriott Marquis, which wouldn't have gone in there until, I believe, the Marquis opened in the early 80s. But I'd have to double check that. And frankly, I don't care about a hotel and when it opened, really. It's actually kind of an eyesore. I don't know if anybody has seen the gigantic billboard, that electronic billboard that adorns the front of that building now. And it had been under construction for a long time. And I kept saying to myself, like, what could they be doing to this building that's already got so many sort of moving parts to it? They've got a theater in there. They've got a revolving restaurant at the ninth floor, I think it is, 12th floor or something, overlooking Times Square. It's loaded with stuff. And then rooms, obviously, bloody rooms in which to stay and sleep and whatever. And I think they've even got a couple of other restaurants and bars and certainly shops and whatnot. So what else could they do? It turns out what they were constructing was a gigantic billboard, and it's as long as the block. It's probably 3 stories high. It is insane. It lights up Times Square like no other, and it makes you It's a little cringeworthy, but when you look at old photos of Times Square from 100 years ago, Christ, even 50 years ago, and the thing looks, you could almost see tumbleweeds roll through by comparison. So anyway, I digress. It was the Schubert Theater and not the not the Majestic, as I had said. And the reason I knew immediately was that I saw Les Miserables at the Majestic initially, and then Phantom of the Opera opened at the Broadway, and then when Les Miserables closed, they moved Phantom into the Majestic. And then for years, I mean for 15 years almost, Chorus Line was at the Schubert. So anyway, we are moving on, and we're staying with a Chorus Line. We are now moving on to a really beautiful number at the Ballet. It's a favorite song, and again, this is a music from my childhood. I mean, I believe I saw it as a kid. I certainly saw it before it closed in 1990, probably in around 88, 89 time frame. Anyway, At the Ballet is a beautiful number. Carol Bishop, Kay Cole, and Nancy Lane on New York Standard.
Daddy always thought that he married beneath him. That's what he said, that's what he said. When he proposed, he informed my mother he was probably her very last chance. And though she was 22, though she was 22, though she was 22, she married him. Life with my dad wasn't ever a picnic, more like a come as you are. When I was 5, I remember my mother dug earrings out of the car. I knew that they weren't hers, but it wasn't something you'd want to discuss. He wasn't warm. Well, not to her. Well, not to us. But everything was beautiful at the ballet. Graceful men lift lovely girls in white. Yes, everything was beautiful at the ballet. I was happy at the ballet. That's when I started class. Up a steep and very narrow stairway to the voice like a metronome. Up a steep and very narrow stairway. It wasn't paradise.
It wasn't paradise.
It wasn't paradise, but it was home.
Mother always said I'd be very attractive when I grew up, when I grew up. Different, she said, with a special something and a very, very personal flair. And though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, I hated her. Now, different's nice, but it sure isn't pretty. Pretty is what it's about. I never met anyone who was different who couldn't figure that out. So beautiful, I'd never live to see. But it was clear, if not to her, well then to me, that everyone is beautiful at the ballet. Every prince has got to have his swan.
What they were for or against, really, except each other. I mean, I was born to save their marriage, but But when my father came to pick my mother up at the hospital, he said, well, I thought this was going to help, but I guess it's not. Anyway, I did have a fantastic fantasy life. I used to dance around the living room with my arms up like this. My fantasy was that it was an Indian chief, and he'd say to me, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I'd say, Daddy, I would love to dance.
But it was clear when he proposed that I was born to have their marriage and wed.
That's what he said.
That's what she said.
I used to dance around the living room.
He wasn't warm, not to her.
It was an Indian chief, and he said, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I said, Daddy, I would love to. Everything was beautiful at the ballet. Raise your arms, someone's always there. Yes, everything.
Every little step he takes. Once, thrilling combination, every move that he makes. One smile and suddenly nobody else will do. You know you'll never be lonely with you. The rest, for the guy is second best to none. Son, ooh, sigh, give him your attention. Do I really have to mention? She walks into a room, and you know from her manly poise, effortless whirl, she's a special girl strolling. Can't help all of her qualities extolling. Loaded with charisma is my jauntily sauntering Emily Chandler. She walks into a room, and you know you must shuffle along, join the parade. She's the quintessence of making the grade. This is what you call traveling. Oh, stretch your stuff. Can't get enough of her. Lover. I'm a son of a gun. She is one of a kind. Once
in a singular
sensation.
Heavenly veils, very
she takes.
Combination.
Every
move
that she makes,
she's a special girl.
second best to none. Sun, moon, sun, give me your attention. Do I really have detention? Give me
From the mind of Marvin Hamlisch, we have a chorus line. Hope you enjoyed that Broadway bit. You know, I was looking and I was reminded of the fact that Mr. Hamlisch, who died way, way, way too soon, what was he, 58? No, he was 68 years old. One of only 12 people to win an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, also known as an EGOT. As they say, if you are a fan of 30 Rock, you know what an EGOT is. You might also know what an EGOT is if you didn't watch it, but most likely you would through that. Anyway, we are rounding out the show with, I've got two more numbers to bring you. If you notice, we have not heard from Mr. Cole yet, and here is Mr. Cole. This Will Make You Laugh. This is from the compilation of the earliest recordings on Capitol Records. This is the Nat King Cole Trio. This Will Make You Laugh on New York Standard.
This will make you laugh. I stake my dreams on you. This will make you laugh. They never did come true. I took a chance on the one romance and vowed it couldn't miss. But I should have known to never judge a heart by a kiss. This will make you laugh. I once believed in you, and for all my love, you didn't see it through. Of all the fools, I break the rules. I love you still, you see. This will make you laugh, but it's not funny to me. all the fools, I break the rules. I love you still, you see. This will make you laugh, but it's not funny to me.
I think spring is a wonderful time for a lot of reasons, mostly because you're getting out of things. The winter, the sludge, even in places like where I have loads of friends in Texas, my buddy Jonathan and so many other friends down there, Tammy and that crew, they've gotten a fair amount of winter weather. So spring is a magical time, and it sort of reminds me of that song, I never want to look into those eyes again until maybe tomorrow. Sort of the same as spring or winter. And that was June Christie from an album called Something Cool, singing the Johnny Mercer Milt Raskin number, I Never Want to Look Into Those Eyes Again. And before that, we heard Nat King Cole and the Nat King Cole Trio with the song This Will Make You Laugh. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's show. It's a nice, short and sweet show. And I did want to point out, I mentioned an EGOT earlier, the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. There are 12, but 12 people have done it. And here is the list. Richard Rodgers, EGOT completed in 1962, took 17 years to complete. He got his first... he's got his Oscar in 45 and his Emmy in 62. Helen Hayes, 1977. Rita Moreno in 1977 as well, funny enough. John Gielgud, 1991, he completed. It took him 30 years. It took Helen Hayes 45 years. Audrey Hepburn, 1994, took her 41 years. Marvin Hamlisch, as mentioned earlier, Jonathan Tunick. It took 20 years, 1997 for him. Mel Brooks, 2001, took him 34 years. Mike Nichols, the recently departed, and one of my neighbors, 2001, took him 40 years. Whoopi Goldberg, 2002, 17 years. Scott Rudin took 28 years. And Robert Lopez, that's the only name I don't recognize. Right. Book of Mormon. That's right. I should know that. Well, it's never a problem to admit what you don't know, I don't think. A lot of people, I prefer to be right, but I'd rather be honest. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this very shortened version of New York Standard. It's probably going to be more typical of the types of shows. I think what happens is around the holidays, it just gets so easy to do these long, lush, beautiful, big shows. We did that around the holidays for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's even and a bunch of others. And you just sort of fall in, and we did the women's show a couple of weeks ago, a bunch of other stuff, and it just becomes really, really easy to do these big, long shows. And so the next several months, we're looking at nice 60 to 90 minutes. Anyway, again, my name is Andre Archambault, and this has been New York Standard. Thanks for listening.